From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, December 5th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things started officially with
the Daily Datagram?
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. A good one here, too. It says, keep your head and your heart in the right direction, and you won't have to worry about your feet. Yeah. For that matter, nor will you have to worry about all the other parts. They'll just naturally come along with you.
Staggers the imagination.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
So I'm telling.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Sure, like that's gonna happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1933, the 21st Amendment to the United States Constitution was ratified, which meant Prohibition was over. And what this meant was that even though we were still in the depths of the Great Depression, it didn't seem to bother us quite as much. And it was on this day in 2005. The Civil Partnership Act went into effect in the United Kingdom, also known as the UK, also known as England, basically allowing for common law marriage. And that allowed unmarried couples to have the same degree of misery as married couples. That's fair, isn't it?
And the hits just keep on coming.
NBC News is reporting that at least six Republican senators are balking at the idea of confirming Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth for heading up the DOD. Now, he's a veteran of the War on Terror. He's currently a host at Fox News, who's been nominated to head the Pentagon. Now, Hegseth was announced as Trump's nominee, and since, he's been the target of numerous smear campaigns advanced by none other than anti-Trump media outlets like the New York Times and NBC News. I'm sure there will be more. But then again, given as lazy as the mainstream media is, maybe the others won't chime in because they figure, the New York Times and the NBC have this covered for us. So why put forth the effort? Yes, the media is that lazy. Now, without evidence, mainstream media pundits have suggested that Pete Hegseth sexually assaulted a woman based on unproven allegations that were investigated by law enforcement and found to be without merit. Okay? Let's make that very clear here. Now, the accuser, whose identity is redacted, claimed Hegseth raped her in 2017 during a Republican women's conference at a hotel in Monterey, California. According to the accuser, the alleged assault happened after conference organizers went to the hotel bar following an after party towards the end of the conference. Now, there is a police report. And that report casts some considerable doubt on the claim. Let me emphasize the word considerable doubt. As several eyewitness accounts and surveillance videos suggest, the two had a consensual encounter. Now, the accuser is married, and the report suggests the accusation was made in an attempt to hide infidelity from her husband, who was staying in the hotel at the time of the incident. Additionally, eyewitness testimony indicates that Hegseth was heavily intoxicated when he was led away from the hotel bar by the accuser. Now, on this subject, Megyn Kelly is on. Here she is talking about Pete Hegseth and the alleged allegations. Isn't that redundant? Alleged allegations? Well, it is, but that's exactly what we're talking about. Alleged allegations. Because they haven't been brought forth legally. And she isn't buying any of it.
I need to talk to you about this one more time because the way this is being covered is disgusting. My team and I have been watching the media devour this news of a police report without actually telling you what's in the police report.
A woman referred to as Jane Doe met Hegseth during a conference at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Both were drinking with a group at the hotel bar when Doe said things got fuzzy. A nurse who treated her later said Doe believed something may have been slipped into her drink. Her next memory was when she was on a bed or a couch and Hegseth was over her. His dog tags were hovering over her face.
Have you read the report?
I actually have. I've got it right here.
I read the report too. It was two people farting on each other.
Well, it also said she couldn't get out of the room.
Well, that's one person's opinion.
Do your f***ing homework, you absolute loser. It's really not that hard. It's called reading. You claim you did it. Do it. Do it and then report what's actually in the actual police report.
But you know, it's really the same old song. It happens every single time that you have a Republican in office. The mainstream media goes in like a bunch of attack dogs. And they don't even bother to read the extenuating circumstances, if there are any. And if there aren't any, they make them up. Now, a separate report from NBC News citing anonymous allegations from alleged colleagues of his at Fox News claims that Hegseth drank heavily during his time at the network. Two of them said, without evidence, that Hegseth smelled of alcohol before he went on air on more than a dozen occasions. Now, as a result of the flood of unverified investigations, NBC News is reporting that at least six Republican senators are leaning toward opposing Hegseth's nomination. Republicans will control 53 seats when the new Congress is sworn in next month, meaning that they could only afford three defections if all Democrats vote against Hegseth's nomination. See? So when the initial allegations were levied against Hegseth last month, Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi, who's a Republican and chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee, was optimistic that Hegseth would be confirmed. The anonymous sources quoted in the NBC News report now appear to be giving senators pause. See, plant a little doubt and make some unsubstantiated allegations, do it often enough, loud enough, in front of enough cameras and enough microphones, and you can scuttle even the most qualified nominees. I mean, basically what's happening here is Pete Hegseth is getting Kavanaugh'd. Well, if you're not willing to expect this sort of thing from the Democrats, then really, you've been sleeping through the last couple of administrations. Certainly the first Trump administration, because what happened to Kavanaugh shouldn't happen to a national enemy, really. Now, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Republican, you know him. He said that he's open to confirming Hegseth, though he did note that he finds the allegations concerning. But here's what he said about it. He says, we got a process where he can be asked questions. The articles I've read, yeah, some of them are concerning. I don't know if it's true or not, but he'll go through the process. He'll be asked about it. We'll see what happens. See, I like that approach. Now, if he's really tough enough, if he's really up for this job, then, yeah, go ahead and try to Kavanaugh him, and let's see what happens. Let's see how he stands up under that. Joni Ernst from Iowa, another great Republican, expressed similar sentiments. She said, we're just going to have a really frank and thorough conversation in the confirmation hearings. Okay, let's go for it. Now, alleged Republican opposition to Hegseth comes after four Republican senators refused to confirm Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. And those opposed to Gaetz' nomination included Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and freshman Senator John Curtis of Utah. Don't know much about him, but I tell you what, I expected this from the likes of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. And then there's outgoing Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Thank God he's leaving. Thank God that man is leaving. That man in his political career has done more to scuttle more good Republican legislation. I mean, he's an absolute embarrassment. And McConnell, who, by the way, recently became more open about his hatred of Trump in a new memoir, opposed Gates' nomination after his state of Kentucky went for Trump by a 31-point margin, one of the largest in the nation, and rather interesting. So, yes, thank God that Mitch McConnell's leaving. He is doing this nation no good at this point. Some good news here, where a growing number of Republican U.S. senators are optimistic about Kash Patel's chances in confirmation hearings, with the brash former intelligence official garnering unlikely praise from some of the chamber's more moderate voices. And, Kash Patel is brash, but that's what I like about the man. I'm fascinated listening to him talk on these podcasts and in interview situations. The man is right on the money. And you can count Senator Susan Collins among those keeping an open mind about Patel heading up the FBI, believe it or not. I usually don't count on Susan Collins reporting, supporting anything that Donald Trump would recommend. I mean, she is a rhino. She's always been a rhino. And they keep re-electing her up there in Maine. I don't know what the deal is there. But Patel, the idea of Kash Patel heading the FBI is excellent. And he's already put forth some very interesting ideas as to what he would do with the organization. And chief among which is that he would close down the J. Edgar Hoover building in Washington, D.C., 7,000 people in that building, he would close that thing down and send those people out to be cops. And in one podcast that I heard just the other day, he made the statement that these people in the J. Edgar Hoover building are just there waiting for the next promotion. But they're not really doing much of anything but pushing paperwork. Great point. Get them out there, let them be cops. Now, Patel is a close ally of Donald Trump, and it was back on Saturday when he was tapped to replace Christopher Wray, which would be a great replacement. I don't trust Christopher Wray any farther than I can throw him or the J. Edgar Hoover building. And this is an appointment which would give Donald Trump a death grip on the agency, because he's long complained on the FBI's investigation of him on false or trumped up charges. Pardon the pun, trumped up. Now, on Monday, Collins signaled to Politico that she believes Patel has a lengthy resume that deserves careful review. Okay, but then again, that's Collins. She says, I don't know Kash Patel. I'd heard his name, but I don't know his background, and I'm going to have to do a lot of work before reaching a decision on him. Yes, you are, ma'am. In general, I found it's important to review the background check, the committee work, and the public hearing. Now, her comments are striking, given her public criticisms of Matt Gaetz. And if you recall, Matt Gaetz was up for attorney general. That didn't go through. Patel is seen by a lot of observers to be the most MAGA of Trump's current nominees and the one who's likeliest to face headwinds in front of a more stoic Republican majority. How's that? Stoic Republican majority. I didn't use the term rhino. Maybe I should have. You go ahead and use it, okay? Now that I've planted the idea in your mind. Now, Christopher Wray was appointed by Trump back in 2017, appointed to a 10-year term. So this would require usurping him with Patel if the confirmation goes through. Really, for the good of the country, I think this confirmation should go through. Trump can only afford to lose 3 Republican votes. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. and in the Senate. All right. And in addition to Collins, I mentioned Murkowski a few minutes ago, Joni Ernst of Iowa, and Tom Tillis, the latter of whom said he's meeting with Patel this week and is in a presumptive positive position over the nomination right now. So Hegseth, maybe not so much for DOD, but for FBI, yeah, looks like maybe, just maybe, Kash Patel might be our man, which would be a good thing. Now, Joni Ernst, in speaking about Patel, she said, I do think he'll be able to get confirmed, absolutely. Good sign there. And her comments are the opposite from those she made about Hegseth, as you know. So, part of the discussion around Patel is going to involve Ray's job performance. Oh, Mr. I know nothing. My God, he sounds like Sergeant Schultz when he sits down in front of those congressional hearings. Several Senate Republicans said over the weekend they see no problem with how the current director is handling his duties, despite Trump's anger at Ray for authorizing investigations into the false allegation that his 2016 campaign colluded with Russian actors. And then, of course, there was that mess down there at Mar-a-Lago where the FBI called the media, called CNN in advance of the raid and said, we're going to be there. Come on out. And that's not the only time they did that. But I don't know. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota said on ABC's This Week, we provide advice and consent. That can be sometimes advice, sometimes it's consent. And then Susan Collins added in her remarks on Monday that she believes Ray has done a good job at the Bureau. Really? Come on. And still there are plenty of other Senate Republicans who are salivating at the prospect of Patel taking the reins. You got Rand Paul, and that's a very important voice. He is a very important voice in the Senate. And he told ABC, he says, Kash Patel would be perfect to clean house over there. Want to showcase Kash Patel a little bit more here, because really only if we have new leadership in the FBI, namely Kash Patel, are we going to have any hope at all in draining the swamp, destroying the deep state? Here's another reason to believe that Kash Patel is the right man for the FBI. John Bolton, you remember him, the guy with the big mustache? John Bolton, the guy who never found a war he didn't love. His comment was, the Senate should reject Patel in this nomination 100-0. It's a little outlandish. But, you know, John Bolton, he served his purpose years ago. He's washed up. Nobody agrees with that man anymore. So that, to me, signals really all the reason in the world why the Senate should confirm Kash Patel. Now, Patel has made no secret about what he intends to do with the FBI, if confirmed. And I find it difficult to disagree with the man. He makes all the sense in the world. And the other day, he was on the Sean Ryan Show, which is another podcast, a good one. And here's what he had to say.
Then we need to decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
So a massive government reform.
Yeah. You got to work with Congress to eliminate the billets. This is one of the things we did when I was deputy DNI. We got to DNI and I was like, okay, what do all these people do? We've got the CIA, so why do I have analysts doing the CIA's job here? Why do I have a floor of them? Like, give me a good answer. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. But if you can give me an answer that satisfies their existence, I'm all in. Well, we just have our own people. Okay, well, now we don't. And we went to Congress and zeroed out a bunch of billets. And they hated us for it.
Why? Why would Congress hate you for that?
Not Congress, the public. Congress is like, great, you saved us money. You're the only agency that returned money this year because we didn't spend our entire budget. We were literally funding seats with no humans in them for years. And what the government creep that I was talking about is these agencies go to Congress every year. And again, this is why it's a thing of decades. I need 5 more seats here. I need 10 more seats here. Okay, you keep doing that. How's that going? Oh, we'll fill that seat next year. We're in the process of, you know, interviewing people for that section. And that keeps, no one returns money. It's the biggest fiction in government that you can't return money. Every agency and department that I've ever worked for, when it comes to the fiscal end of the year, they're like, go on trips, go spend money. What? Just give it back to Congress. We can't do that.
So why can't you give money back? Well, the mentality within the government is such that if you don't spend this year's budget and spend all of it, then it'll be decreased next year. Fact. I heard that I don't know how many times during my 4 years in the Air Force. We've got to spend all the money in the department or they'll decrease next year's allocation. Now, a little background on Cash. He was born here in the States. Yep, he's a real American. His parents were Indian. They emigrated from Gujarat. And he represents the immigrant dream. I mean, the poster child for it. He gained prominence as a top investigator on the House Intelligence Committee, played a key role over there in uncovering details about the origins of the Russia probe. And later, he served as chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense during Trump's presidency, solidifying his reputation as a very decisive leader. And that's what we need here. If you're going to run the FBI, you have to be a decisive leader. So to reduce political influence, Patel has also suggested relocating the FBI's headquarters outside of Washington. And I think that was probably the singularly one of the most important ideas he expressed in this, because that's where the swamp is. The swamp is in Washington, D.C. It's a culture. We have an area north of Houston called the Woodlands. There's no place like it anywhere else on earth. It's a beautiful place, and it is so tree-lined, so full of trees, that all of the shopping centers and retail areas are hidden behind trees. You really need to know your way around the Woodlands if you're going to run to the store or stop in and get something at McDonald's or what have you. Gas stations, same way. They're all pretty much hidden. You need a map if you're just visiting. But this has also created over the years, let's see, the Woodlands started back, I think, around 1970. They started construction on it. And I think it's just about all built out now. But what's interesting about the Woodlands is there's an entire culture there. It's a culture of soccer moms and just a strange society there. I'm not saying it's not a nice society. It is. I worked up there for a year, and that was about, 20 years ago? And I found the area just really nice, but very different. Well, that's Washington, D.C. for you. There is an entire culture in Washington, D.C. It's a strange culture, and you are expected to get along. You know, it's really funny for the cameras and the microphones, you hear Democrats going at Republicans and vice versa, like they're mortal enemies. But then when you see them on the sidewalks or you see them in the hallways of the Capitol building or one of the administration buildings, well, they're all buddy-buddy. Hey, how you doing? How are the kids? Doing anything this weekend? Yada, yada, yada. It's a swamp, and it needs to be drained. But you can't drain it. You can't even dream of draining it until you get the right people plugged in to the right jobs. And in this particular case, Kash Patel is the man. Well, I didn't see this coming. I'm sure you didn't either. But there's new pressure on President Biden to extend his pardoning powers past his son and to extend them to Donald Trump. With one longtime former Democrat, he's not a Democrat anymore, he's an independent, Joe Manchin, calling on Biden to pardon President-elect Trump from federal charges during his final months in office. Is it months? Barely more than a month in office. This is getting good, you know. Anyhow, Manchin was talking to a reporter in the hallways of the Capitol building, a reporter from CNN.
As a father, I don't know of a father that wouldn't have done the same thing. What I would have done differently, and my recommendation as a counsel would have been, why don't you go ahead and pardon Donald Trump for all his charges and make it, you know, it had gone down a lot more balanced, if you will. I'm just saying, wipe them out.
What do you think this does for his legacy?
I don't know. From that standpoint, it makes it difficult.
Meanwhile, back at the White House, no comment on Manchin's suggestion. And, of course, the White House is in crisis mode. I mean, gee whiz. This is like a couple of days after Biden issued this complete and unconditional pardon to Hunter, which goes back 11 years, basically exonerating him for two federal cases and making it impossible for him to be tried on any possible crime that occurred during that time. And then you got Special Counsel David Weiss in the middle of prosecuting the embattled first son for defrauding the IRS. That's the big one. By concealing millions of dollars in income while Hunter was set to be sentenced later this month after a jury found him guilty of lying about being an active drug user while applying for a handgun. You know, you in a heap of trouble, boy. Oh, gosh, this isn't the end of it, I assure you. Let's move along over to the Comedy Corner and the return of Jeff Allen.
Great to be back. I got to tell you, I've been married to my wife, Tammy, for 33 consecutive years. Just one life after another. Thank you. And when you've been with a person that long, you learn to trust their instincts. So when she said to me a while back, you need to get diagnosed now. So for what? I feel fine. She said, that attention deficit stuff, I know you got it, and it's driving me insane. So I said, why now? She goes, what do you mean, why now? I said, well, if I got attention deficit, I've had it for 60 years. Had it my whole life. It's not a virus. You can't catch it on a toilet seat. It's not like you go to the bathroom in a mall, and you come out 2 days later, and you go, boy, I'm so distracted. Where did that come from? I don't know. So why are you bothered about it now? She said, because you keep telling me you'll do things around this house and you don't do them, and it's driving me nuts. That's not attention deficit. That's passive aggressive. And I've had that for 63 years. But I honored my wife, because that's what a man does, sir. That's right, you do, right? You honor your wife. I went and got diagnosed. I spent an hour with a psychologist. After an hour, it turns out, I'm not only do I have attention deficit, I'm also a functioning hypochondriac. Functioning. I'm not clinical. Those people are sick. But this is how God protects his children. It's my ADHD that keeps my hypochondria functional. On those days, I've convinced myself I need an ambulance. By the time I get to the phone to call one, I've been distracted 4 or 5 times. I usually wind up in the kitchen. I got a telephone. I can't remember why I got a telephone. And that's when I order the pizza. My kids love me. Dad's dying again. Really? Pepperoni pops. And Tammy mocks me. She does. She makes. We'll be laying in bed watching Discovery Channel and some strange new disease. Not 4 minutes into it, she leans over. You got it yet? Thinking about it. Well, it's a nodule. I could have nodules. I don't even want a nodule. Oh, boy, I'm feeling nodule-y all of a sudden. It's when the kids are yelling, breadsticks, shut up, you punks, I could die on you. She's taken an over interest in my health. She really did. A few years back, I had a physical. I was 60. I had a physical, normal thing, full-blown physical. Take 7 to 10 days to get the results. So I'm on the road, she calls me up, she goes, the doctor's office just called about your physical. So I said, what'd they say? She said, I'll paraphrase. Doctor said if you were part of a wildebeest herd, the lions would be circling you right now.
Have a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.